Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble in association with Capital One. It's our Capital One Round 5 preview show. Proud sponsors of the Capital One Cup, the credit card that supports the supporters. Chaps, it's Round 5 already.
Yes.
Yay.
My goodness. It has, hasn't it? We've enjoyed many lovely rounds of the Capital One Cup so far, and we're going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, there's a level of heat in this studio that I'm finding it very hard to bear, and I think it might be the excitement of Round 5 of the Capital One Cup.
Well, that could be it. We're going to start, though, by talking about a favourite Round 5 match from the tournament's history. Mm. And we've got an answer each, Pete. And you're going to go first.
Traditional. Mine is actually brilliant, so I'm pretty confident that the points are coming my way.
So before we give our preview of the Round 5, which is happening very, very soon, we're going to go back through the annals of time. Pete.
Is this the first time we've dished out points for the Capital One Cup?
We're making history. Yeah. Needlessly warm studio.
Speller may elect to not give out points.
Mm. Right, okay.
You never know.
He could hold them back.
Or one of you scandalously give them to himself.
Well, as it's a cup competition, one of you could be eliminated.
Oh, true. That is true.
And never be allowed to come back again.
Or join me in the next round.
Yeah.
Are there away points? Do away points count?
They count double.
Not in this round, no.
Right. Time.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Can I play for time? Can I play for penalties?
What's your answer?
I'm going to go for Aston Villa 3, Liverpool 4.
Oh, yes!
What
a
year?
A roller coaster.
About 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was around about 10 years ago.
Okay.
You had everything. Vassell from the penalty spot, 23 minutes in. Darius. Murphy levelling.
Danny Murphy!
Levelling for Liverpool.
I'm liking this. I don't remember the game that well, but I'm liking it.
It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Deflected Dublin shot levels the scores at 83 minutes. 90 minutes in the end. Murphy snatching a dramatic late win.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of the boy Danny Murphy.
We all are.
Well, I am more than most, though, because I took a load of stick from listeners for suggesting that he might be the answer to some midfield problems in the Premier League.
That was recent.
And then about 2 months later, he retired, saying, I can't do it anymore. I haven't got it in me.
I can't do it at the Championship anymore.
Maybe his fine performance in this match had something to do with the fact that the actual match was delayed by 80 minutes. So maybe he can play, but he can only play an extra time really well.
Okay.
It was crowd congestion.
Yeah. Just quite simple.
Too blooming popular.
That just hearing about this result makes me think of the days when Darius Vassell was just, he promised so much, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was so unknown. He'd just be amazing for England suddenly.
He's got a blog now.
He'd get so excited. Does he still maintain that?
His blog, his most recent blog entry, I think he did stop doing the blog for a while. But his most recent blog entry, I read not that long ago. Yeah. No, not busy. probably lost a computer password. the most recent entry, he was saying about how some clubs should come in and take a gamble on him. He understands. First of all, he starts off saying they should come and take a gamble on me. I'm a really good player.
Mm.
And then he sort of talks himself out of it by going, I sort of understand why no one has. And then he ends up by saying that he just had his bathroom done. So that, it goes on a sort of sliding scale downwards.
Fabulous.
I mean, if this is how the negotiations go when he's actually in the room with clubs, you can sort of understand why he's taking to blogging about it.
Indeed, and I think he knows he's not going to get another club unless Sven gets another job. That's what he's holding out for.
Yeah, I mean, even that shit might have sailed. So Sven's found money elsewhere, isn't he?
Well, Spurs are on standby.
For less work.
He's waiting for Spurs to call. But an excellent shout, Pete. I do remember that game.
4-3.
Vaguely.
Yeah, Jimmy Traore nearly gave away like about 10 penalties. He finally got one in the end.
He'll do that.
Finally got one in the end.
Yeah.
He would have been pleased.
His best night was to come. 2005 Champions League final.
But that's a very good start, though, Peter. I like that. Luke, what have you got?
I initially misread this question from you and went for the 2005 final, Chelsea 3, Liverpool 2, with a Steve Jones own goal. Mourinho giving it the big one on the touchline.
Giving it the shush.
I think he got sent off for that, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he got sent to the stands for that. But
you,
anyway,
you wouldn't get anything for that nowadays.
Yeah. I'm going to take you back to November 2010.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah.
High-flying Manchester United, a visit to Upton Park. Lost 4-0, didn't they? West Ham destroyed Manchester United at Upton Park. Avram Grant's West Ham.
Spectre scored double.
He got a couple. Yeah. Ex-United, Spectre. No less than four assists from future Premier League Hall of Famer Victor Obinna.
Is that right?
Okay. The other two goals came courtesy of Carlton Coe, I think.
It's like an alternative dimension, isn't it?
Yeah. It had more this game. This game had more. It was back when Fergie wasn't talking to the BBC. So you got a very angry Mike Phelan. Which is always nice to see.
It's good.
It?
Spread the anger out. You know Fergie's angry. Let's see what else you've got.
But the thing is, though,
he's putting out a Phelan.
Very good, yeah.
What Phelan would have... Ferguson would have said to Phelan what he wants Phelan to say in the interview. So he would have got all that ref. And then he has to go and deliver it in front of the camera. So it's a tricky one.
A rage conduit.
Yeah.
Two more words that makes this the greatest round five game of all time. Bebe started.
Wow. Nice.
Come on. Hey. Admittedly got dragged at half time for Federico Makeda, but he started the game.
I miss Bebe.
I wonder where he is now. Yeah. It could be anywhere. It could literally just be walking around the earth.
He'll be on loan to a different club every season till the age of 35. Yeah. Then he'll retire. Yeah. That's what will happen.
He'll still have a nice house. Yeah. He'll have his bathroom done.
But he definitely will. But
actually, maybe we should see if he's got a blog. Then we can find out what he is up to.
Bebe's blog. Bebe's blog.
You finished?
Is Bebe finished? Yes.
Don't give him the option.
He at least started the game anyway. And, I'd like to remember. Bebe's one of those players I'd like to remember what he's like, but I genuinely can't.
Whereas everyone involved at the club would just like to forget.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
How little we knew then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But anyway, so West Ham United 4, Manchester United 0, 2010-2011 season.
Good one. Jim?
I am going to go for the round five tie in the 06-07 season, where Arsenal went to Anfield, having just beaten Liverpool in the FA Cup, I think, and just 1-6-3 out of nowhere. Now, it's nice to take a bit of ownership over that scoreline.
This is the Baptista game.
Yeah.
Yes, the beast.
Absolutely amazing, because Baptista, he got four goals.
He got a haul.
And he could have had a glut, but Jerzy Dudek saved the penalty as well.
What, he missed a penalty? Yeah. I forgot that.
Dudek saved it.
Yeah, okay.
But still, you know, like Baptista, he hadn't really played much. Like, everyone was like, well, where is he? Yeah. There's a lot of noise about this player. Yeah. We hadn't really seen much of him. He hadn't scored, like, in the time he had been on the pitch. And then he went and got four in the same game. Also very young Alex Song, pre-growth spurt, so it was shorter, strangely, scored.
Yeah.
Very, very young. Danielson, Cesc Fabregas were in the team. Theo Walcott.
Robbie Fowler.
Quite young.
Scored for
Robbie
Liverpool.
Fowler, he did score for Liverpool in his second spell at the club. Ali Adier had his best game for Arsenal. He was magnificent. I think he got about four assists. Gerrard scored an absolute belter, which was irrelevant in the end. He also hit the bar. And who else scored? Oh, yeah, it was Ali Adier himself. So it was just so much happened, so much in such a short space of time.
Yeah, good shout.
A brilliant little snapshot of how
it's been some games down the years, I'm telling you.
But that is like what pieces almost like another dimension. You're talking about what happened there.
You'd fill a sticker album with things that happened in the game and all the players.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be until Arshavin that an Arsenal player scored a haul at Anfield again.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Had about five touches and four goals.
Yeah. It was one of those games where, you know, everything he hit went in. Yeah. And if you
like the last 8 months of Luis Suarez's career.
Yeah. But it all happened in the one game with Baptiste. We're like, we haven't seen much of him, and that's when we saw all of him.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
We haven't seen much of him, and now there's none left.
Yeah.
He used it all up.
He could have spread that over a couple of games.
He should have, really.
Took three, maybe.
He and Ali Adier, like, that was by a long way the best games they had for the club. Mm. And I remember it because I watched it with a friend of mine in a pub, and I don't generally like watching football in pubs, but this was strangely quiet. So just brilliant and fun, and just it promised so much, and so little came from Julio Baptista and Jeremy Ali Adier.
Maybe we'll have Well, Jeremy Aliadier had at least a good song about him to the tune of Living on a Prayer. You can't take that away from
him. No, we wouldn't.
Until someone else comes along with a similar name of the same syllable.
Until John Bon Jovi
changes his name.
Until John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora update the song.
When Stephen on a Prayer turns up, starts knocking them in.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping there'll be some games this weekend.
Well, there will definitely be some games.
Well, I'm going to go for one of the 2009-2010 tournament when Blackburn overcame Chelsea after a 3-3 tie, and they won 4-3 on penalties. It was a wonderful game. Kalinic, the Croatian forward, I think. Scored early on. Blackburn looked lively, and Samba did a bit of a Nat Loft-Hales in that game.
I'm going to say one word to you, and you can nod or shake.
Yeah,
Yakubu involved?
No.
Sorry, guys.
Yakubu was, that was before him.
Actually, this kind of time of year was perfect for Yakubu as well, because he would just smash them in until about January and then just kind of stop.
I'm done now, that's me now.
Yeah.
If you want me to do the second half of the season as well, you're going to have to double my wages. And I probably still won't do it.
Christopher Sambury tried to bundle Hilario into the net, a bit like a Nat
Loft-Hales. I do remember that.
Which was great. Yeah. Ancelotti made a triple substitution at half time. Back to bite him on the bot.
that smacks of like at half time having an argument with some players, doesn't it, Ray? You're not coming out in the second half.
Say it once more. Go on.
Do you want to go outside as well?
They were only 1-0 down. Deco Cole and Belletti came off. Drogba, Kakuta, and Bruma.
Deco calls in trouble, shut up.
Get out of town.
But straight away, Drogba made it 1-1, and then Kalou made it 2-1 4 minutes later. So it was an instant impact. And then Chelsea lost a very soft goal from a Brett Emerton cross. Hilario made a right hash of it. But Chelsea looked the better side, and then Kalou went off injured. Major substitutions.
So
down to 10 men. They went into extra time. Benny McCarthy.
No, Ancelotti, your eyebrow can't play up front.
Benny McCarthy put them ahead with a penalty. And then Blackburn looked as though they were going to win, and Hoylett missed a great chance to finish it off. And in the last seconds, who was it? Malouda put the ball in. Mm. And Robinson in goal made a bit of a meal out of it. And then Ferreira, with a very accomplished finish from a tight angle, made it 3-0. And there was a pylon. Because they thought, oh, surely we'll win on penalties. Balak missed the first one. I forget who missed for Blackburn. Oh, no, it was Kalinic himself. Penalty. Okay. And then Hoylett scored and Kakuta missed it. Blackburn went through the next round.
Again, like, this isn't that long ago. It's 09-10, isn't it? But it feels like eons ago in terms of football.
Wait, Marcus, and they missed all the penalties. And that, as they say, is mystery.
Yeah, that's true. It was very, very true.
Mystery.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah?
Yeah, got it.
I'm saving my big performances for round five.
Yeah.
It's round five now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're just bragging then?
Can we talk about round five of this year after I've taken the points?
Jim's got the points.
I'll
dedicate those to you, Julio.
Do you know what you did there? You did that, almost like you showed me a yellow card, an imaginary yellow card, and you got booked for it.
The joke's on you guys, because I would have dedicated my points to Capital One.
Maybe Jim has. But the round five that is happening, this week, is Leicester City versus Manchester City, Sunderland versus Chelsea, Stoke City versus Manchester United, Tottenham Hotspurs versus West Ham United. The one that leaps out for me, chaps, that I'd like to begin with, is Tottenham Hotspur versus West Ham. Bit of a
tasty
local derby.
Yeah, but also because West Ham smashed them the last time they met. They beat them 3-0, didn't they? They're out for blood.
Yeah. Spurs and a little
managerless Spurs. Disarray.
I'm going on the Liverpool aggregate score. So West Ham lost by 3 goals. Spurs lost by a few more. So I think West Ham's got this one.
Do you think?
in the league.
That is how football works. If someone finds that out, the whole edifice is going to come crashing down.
Yeah, keep that to yourself, Pete.
I find it a curious one, because West Ham obviously have big problems scoring goals generally. Mm. But in the last two games in the Capital One Cup, they scored 2 against Burnley, and they beat Cardiff 3-2 in a really good game. So I'll tell you what, West Ham will fancy this. They've been there this season. They've beaten them, as you touched on, Jim. It's a big test for Sherwood, who we think is going to come in and be in charge for this game. He'll want the job. I mean, I've heard all sorts of rumours that Sherwood's a bit of a funny old chap, and he's really ambitious, and I think he'd want this job. So he'll be seeing this as a real big opportunity for him.
It's very high profile for him, though.
Massively, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But I wonder if Spurs sort of saw, or the Spurs players will have seen AVB sacking coming. They might still be in a little bit of shock and not really know quite how to react to it. So that could play right into West Ham's hands.
They've got to shoulder their fair share of responsibilities as well. I think if I was Sherwood, I would just, you know, say, look, clean slate to all the players. I might even be tempted to play a couple up front. You're at home,
yeah.
You know, give them a little bit of a... No, it's like a change is as good as a rest. Maybe put someone up front for Soldado, see how he gets
surely
on.
Surely Defoe.
Defoe and Soldado up front.
But then there's talk that Defoe's going to leave anyway, isn't there? So I'm not sure if he'll...
Well, he'll be in the shop window then.
Well, I suppose so, yeah.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah. And obviously Defoe's played for West Ham before, so he'll be motivated.
But then
as well.
You do sort of think that West Ham, they did go a run of about three or four games with clean sheets, inexplicably.
They don't concede that many, West Ham.
Or when they do, they concede three or four.
Like Spurs.
Also, yeah, this is massive for Big Sam as well, because results aren't going brilliantly well in the Premier League. Mm. And a cup run is something he needs to sort of, so he can point to it and go, look, actually, I am doing a good job. So
absolutely, they're not done at all well so far. And I think he gets quite an easy ride in the press as well, Big Sam. As you guys know, I feel like that. I can tell that by the way Marcus smirked at me. I said that.
Yeah, I was following up the news desk at the Sun, going, "Come on, guys."
But you're right, Marcus. It does like leap out at you, because it's one of those things where there's a lot at stake for both sides, really. And Spurs, they have trouble scoring. West Ham have trouble scoring. So it'll probably be about 5-4.
Penalties. Yeah. I do say extra time on this one.
Penalties. This has got belts written all over it.
I think it'll go down to penalties. You've also
got a situation where Spurs have got a very talented squad. They're not realistically going to do anything in the league this season, because it's very competitive. And I know, actually, for all the negative press around AVB and the team, they're not actually that far off.
They're not terrible at all.
I think we can safely say they're not going to win the league this season. So they've been given a tough draw in the FA Cup away at Arsenal. It's a big opportunity for them, Capital One.
They can
rally round. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Interesting indeed. Leicester City, the only non-Premier League side left in the competition, and they've got Manchester City visiting.
Yeah, that's a shame. Isn't it?
Manchester City can't win away from home. Well, they can.
I saw that Leicester match against Burnley at the weekend. If the wind blows the right way and they play as well as they did, and Man City are having a terrible time.
Yeah, can we all agree that if Man City were playing Leicester City away every week, their away record would be a lot better?
Well, I tell you, if it was at the Etihad, then you'd really fear for Leicester City. But as you say, Pete, you never know.
If you want to go for it.
When you've got the Nuge up front and Pantilimon in goal.
The difference. No, Hart will be given a run out, definitely, won't
do you
it?
Think?
I think Pantilimon was really poor at the weekend.
I think Nugent's... scored like 10 penalties already this season.
He scored seven.
He
scored seven, I think, 7 and 8 in the league or something, and which is just crazy, isn't it?
Wow. Leicester are having a bit of a wobble. As Pete said, they drew against Burnley. They lost their two games.
Yeah, but was that first versus second or first versus third? Tricky one.
Yeah, but they lost their two games before that in the league.
Well, okay.
So they're not coming into this in a great run of form. Admittedly, they won a couple before that, but it's not ideal timing for them. But as you say, as Pete said, it's a big chance for them, a big opportunity. I think this is like widely like I suppose like Mickey taking it from me about this, but I genuinely believe that David Nugent has got all the attributes as a striker to play at the top level. He just has a real problem, I think, when it comes to confidence. And he's a real confidence player. And I saw him every week for ages at Fratton Park when he was at Portsmouth, and he just wasn't settled, he wasn't happy on the South Coast. But technically, he's got everything you need. He's strong for his size, he's quick, he's good with both feet, he's an excellent finisher on his day. With some of the goals he scores for Leicester are of such great quality. Now, I'm not suggesting that Leicester will win against City, but I am suggesting that if City aren't on their absolute game at the back, they are suspect, and they will concede. And Nugent has got the ability to hurt them. He really has. But they probably won't see anywhere near enough of the ball for this to happen, but it could happen.
I think what Nugent would really need is someone sort of in there behind him with a lot of experience. I'm like Danny Murphy. Come in there and just put it on a plate for him.
Do a real blast of the pass and maybe tempt a lone Sonny for Andre Voronin.
Well, hey? Ramble fans from many years ago. I know what you're saying about Nugent, although I would love to... To slightly edit what you said there and just tag it by saying, look, more from 5 years ago, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll still be saying this when Nugent's about 38. Yeah. He can still do it.
I think you're right, though. If City, say, played, say, someone like Lescott, they went for someone like Lescott at the back, I think Nugent would give him a run for his considerable wages.
Well, I mean, just to speak a bit about City, They went past. I saw them against Newcastle in the last in round four. They took their time over it. Newcastle are a good team.
Newcastle played well, yeah. And actually, that was probably the time when Newcastle would turn in the corner.
That was their turning point, I think, for me.
But City went through Wigan like they weren't even there.
Yeah.
And Leicester are a better team than Wigan, probably. But
Owen Coyle's Wigan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a knife through hot Wigan.
And Wigan have had Europa League concerns, which they haven't got anymore. So fair enough. But Leicester are a better team than Wigan, I would say. But you got to fear for them. If City are on something like they were against Arsenal at the weekend,
this is the great thing about the Cup. It's a one-off game.
Yeah,
you just never know, Jim.
Well, no one's expecting anything from Leicester, really, are they? So the pressure's completely off. It's at their place. It'll be so noisy. It'll be so loud. They'll be just delighted they've got City there at all.
Just crunching
in such
crisp.
A massive game in a cup. Indeed, yeah. There'll be the crunching of Leicester-based potato snacks.
I'd love
heard all around the ground.
On that note, I'd love to see Gary Lineker partner with Nugent.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Pete, who's going to win that one?
Well, between Lineker and the Nuge.
We'll talk about that when the microphones are no longer in front of our mouths. But Leicester City versus Manchester City.
I think it's going to be Leicester 1.
Yes.
Manchester City 4.
God, come on.
I do think if...
It's like having a slimy Paul the Octopus in the studio.
At least give that on penalties or something. Yeah. You think it's going to be...
There will be... All right. 4-2 with Nuge scoring yet another penalty for Leicester.
Okay.
Didn't take any before this season.
The only way Leicester will see penalties in this game is when they're driving fast on the way home. Yeah. Too fast. Yeah. But they're already, a driving penalty.
They're already home. So
that's true, actually,
they're not even going to get that.
They don't need to go anywhere, do they? It doesn't work.
Another team that's playing at home in round five is Sunderland. Mm. And they're at home to Chelsea.
They've snuck in, haven't they?
Haven't they just? Yeah, they beat Southampton 2-1 and Peterborough 2-0. In the previous rounds. Good win against Southampton, obviously. At home to Chelsea, it's a tricky one. Sunderland not going too well in the league. Chelsea, they've not played that well away from home as well. I mean, I think that's a very open one. I don't think that's as... Well, obviously, it's not as clear-cut as Leicester versus Manchester City because the golfing teams isn't quite as big.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you reckon, Pete?
You'd hope there'll be a lot of players on the fringes of the Chelsea squad who will have a bit of a point to prove against a team like Sunderland, and I think they've probably got enough in their bank to destroy Sunderland to a certain extent. But then you know, Sunderland look all right at the back at the moment
with Wes Brown. I do.
When Wes Brown's playing. Yeah.
One thing I would say about Chelsea is, no matter what cup competition they're in, and my goodness, they're in a lot of them, and they have been for many a year now. They give it all. I mean, like I was talking about that Blackburn and Chelsea one, even when they're 3-2 down, with down to 10 men, they're still plugging away.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that I expect them to be plugging away against Sunderland, but they're always interesting to watch in the latter stages of competitions. Yeah.
Yeah, they are, that's right. I was about to touch on that. I was about to say that Mourinho teams do generally tend to sort of grow into competitions, for sure. But they are fallible. I still don't think Mourinho knows what his best team is.
No.
I think they've shown that they can get on start, lose their discipline a little bit. We saw that against Stoke in the league a week or two ago. Sunderland are in danger because they're doing this. They've got this horrible habit of drawing and losing games by the odd goal.
Yeah.
And they just sort of can't get out of that rut.
That's right.
Against West Ham the weekend, they were poor. West Ham didn't really offer anything either, but they've lost games by the odd goal far too often for my liking. I don't think Sunderland have won now since they beat City at home, and I think that was over a month ago actually. So they're not in the
But they do raise it for the big occasion, for the bigger teams.
Well, that win against Southampton looks like a great win to them for them now. I mean, looking back on it, Southampton are in good form. They're one of the better teams in the Premier League this season, so that was a really good win for them. But the fact they're at home will certainly benefit them. I think they're vastly improved under Poirier when compared to De Canio. The players seem to know what they're doing a lot more, and it doesn't. It seems
when instructions are said to you rather than shouted,
on pain of death,
shouted at you in the form of an insult.
Yeah.
I think the danger Sunderland have, though, is, and Mourinho's recently been making noises about how he doesn't expect Chelsea to win the Premier League this year because it's a transitional team, but we know what Mourinho is like. He's a winner. He wants to win everything he's
absolutely
in.
Absolutely.
So he's going to go all out to win this competition.
It's also, I completely agree with you, Jim, and just to expand on that, you know, the Premier League is so competitive this season. English teams aren't as strong as some of their European counterparts in the Champions League. The FA Cup is obviously a very difficult competition to win. The Capital One Cup is a massive trophy this season. There's lots of different reasons why big teams should want to win this competition. Mourinho to ease his way back in. It's the first trophy this season.
Absolutely.
It's his first trophy back as a Chelsea manager. David Moyes is a new manager. You've got other teams like
Pellegrini.
Pellegrini's a new manager.
It can give you a boost for the final, few matches of the season.
Spurs aren't going to win anything.
Well, Pellegrini was told, what was it now? He's got, is it a 3-year contract?
It's five trophies in 5 years, but not necessarily like in any particular order.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, clearly, right. If you won three and then two and then none in the final 3 years. But yeah, absolutely, you are right in saying that you get that first piece of silverware under your belt. And we've seen teams kick on from that.
Absolutely.
We saw Mourinho's Chelsea do that before.
Dalglish's Liverpool.
Dalglish's Liverpool. Will we see Hughes's Stoke do the same? I mean, they're at home again.
No.
Well,
stick my neck out and say no.
I think they'll fancy an opportunity there.
Stoke City versus Manchester United.
Hughes will love
them. Hughes will want Manchester United, and then if they can beat them, then the semi-final against Manchester City.
Oh, massively.
Assuming that the news doesn't have his wicked way.
Which he more than likely will. the dangerous thing with Stoke is the way they almost threw it away against Birmingham in round 4.
And
Birmingham are obviously in the Championship, so it's not... Man United aren't gonna need two opportunities to score, So they played well against Villa United, but I do genuinely think that teams of about Stoke's quality... Same with Villa at the weekend when they played United. Okay, they got beat, and same with teams like Newcastle as well. They see United as a scout now. Not just a scout, but as an achievable scout. They think we could do this, especially at home. And all right, Stoke haven't set the world on fire, but they're a team in a little bit of transition. They almost threw it away against Birmingham, but the key thing is they didn't.
I'd love to see another 4-4. That was amazing, that match.
Exactly. And they beat Chelsea a while back. So, Chelsea were gunning for it as well.
Stoke is always a hard place to go, and you talk about the noise, Jim, and all that kind of
absolutely.
Stuff.
And the win. And it's exactly the sort of setup that, I think Moyes would struggle against.
Would this be the first time
United playing in recent times? I mean, not so much against Villa, but, when they've been at their kind of listless worst, they would struggle against that kind of tough opposition.
And a one-off cup tie as well, when it is one of those cup ties, which Hughes, I would imagine, would want to make it into, where it's all quite open and anything goes. Players like Crouch and Walters and all, they're the guys who often get you through cup ties.
Mm.
With a bit of magic. Hopefully, if it goes to penalties, maybe Walters might not be...
He needs to get at the back of the queue. You like Walters, Mark?
I think he's a good player. I do, yeah.
What do you like about him?
I think I think... Not so much this season, but in previous years, he's popped up with crucial goals. Mm. He's a constant attacking
quite
threat.
He works incredibly hard.
Very hard indeed. I mean, so much so I had him in my fantasy team at the start of the season.
Mm.
No longer. But,
you had faith in him, but not anymore.
This is it. The stage is set for big John Walters to step up and put Stoke into the
Stoke
semi-finals.
Need to step up now, because the facts are that Manchester United have played Premier League opposition in round 4 and round 3, and Stoke haven't played any Premier League opposition yet. Mm-hmm. So Stoke really have serious designs on wanting to win this competition. Now is the time to step up. Mm.
They'll take a lot of heart from that win against Chelsea, obviously.
Oh,
and
of course.
And they'll look at that and think, well, Chelsea currently are a better side than Manchester United. We've beaten them with a spectacular goal.
Yeah.
And I think Stoke will be the ones that really think, well, I mean, is it that big an upset at the moment? I suppose it still is. It's Manchester United.
I think it, even if they were to lose every game
but
for the rest
of
the season, it would be an upset each time.
But I think
such is their status.
But I think the crowd will go into that thinking, right,
we can have this.
Yeah, and when there's that feeling, in a round five of a cup competition, then... things can happen for the home side.
It's interesting how the competition's panned out this season, because last season it was almost known for its upsets. We had Swansea Bradford in the final.
Yeah.
We had all sorts of things going on throughout the season. Mm. But I mean, if these games go much the same as other games in this competition this season have gone, you're looking at the Spurs, Manchester United, Chelsea, and Manchester City in the semi final, which shows a competition of great quality.
Absolutely.
And exactly what you probably would have predicted at the start of the season.
Mm.
You at the start of the season, you could make a serious argument that those four teams were the four strongest in the... I mean, it's not the case now, but I mean, you could have argued.
I
think it just shows the sort of the way English football's going at the moment, that a lot of the there's not so much between the top sides. There was a time, where the top four was the same every year, not that long ago. Before that, people spoke of a top two.
Yeah.
But now there's just so much quality all over
indeed.
The place, and we're seeing it in the cups as well.
Yeah. Pete, would you fancy Stoke City, Manchester United?
I think Manchester United have got enough quality to overcome on a wet, windy
Cliche, haven't
it? Well, we all we kept away from it.
Yeah.
But it had to be said.
Have they got what it takes to win on a wet and windy night at Stoke? Can we please make sure we have wet and windy weather?
Absolutely, yeah. Try get a wind machine and a rain machine if you need to.
At all these games?
Yeah.
I want to see how those
Stoke
foreigners
should just get
on.
One in like just
no, they have
all
done.
The time.
That, the stadium's built in.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. But rain, we don't know. Work on it.
If you wouldn't mind.
I'd like to see Hughes doing a rain dance on the pitch before the game. Just screaming.
Rain volleys.
Yeah. As opposed to a normal sort of handshake dispute dance.
Yeah. Will it involve a volley?
Yeah, definitely.
Following a cloud
stupid
into the
question.
Sky.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Then it'll just start raining blood.
Yeah, well, there you go. That is the Round 5 preview show. We'll be back after those matches have happened with a review show.
Traditional time for a review show, that.
Yeah,
happened,
I mean,
if we were to do the review show now, it'd just be folly.
Guesswork.
We are punk rock, but we're not that punk rock, I suppose. just a caveat that. But make sure you do visit the Capital One Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/... Capital One UK. We can get involved in competitions and the latest debate around the Capital One Cup. So, chaps, we're looking forward to it.
Yes,
we'll be back soon, won't we?
We'll be back on Thursday.
Back on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Pete.
And it's goodbye from me. That was the Football Ramble in association with the Capital One Cup, the credit card that supports the supporters. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.